At Daleville Christian Church, we affirm our faith each time we get together. And this affirmation seems we used recently. It's from Romans, the first chapter, the first six verses. We claim the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. God's reading from God's Word. The reading from God's Word in the Gospel of Luke, the 13th chapter, verses 31 through 35. At that same time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." He replied, "Go tell that fox. I drive out demons and heal people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal. In any case, I must keep going today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. It is summertime. It is not a particular season of the church year. Mother's Day and Father's Day and July 4th are over, so the sermon does not have to be tied to the date or time of year. And it's summer. To me, that means we can lighten up a little. Besides, I just did another funeral yesterday, and I do not want to share again about heavy topics like death and life after death. Also, I noticed that a year ago I did two sermons focusing on animals, and it just so happens that these sermons are kind of popular with some people, so assuming that those messages are not only biblical but beneficial, we turn back to animals or animal, but it will take a while to get there, but we'll learn some things along the way. There are three figures in this report in Luke's gospel. Jesus is one of those figures. The Pharisees are another, and Herod is the third. Jesus, you know. The Pharisees, you're familiar with. Herod, we might need to brush up on before we proceed. The Bible mentions Herod many times, except there are seven different Herods mentioned in the Bible. For today, you only need to know one of them. But let me remind you of the Herod family tree. Herod the Great was the Herod of Jesus' birth, the one who had the children killed trying to get to Jesus. Herod the Great was known for his building projects, which included a complete refurbishing of the temple in Jerusalem. This would have been the temple that Jesus and the disciples knew. In Bible circles still today, it is called Herod's temple, as different from the temple that Solomon built, which had been destroyed hundreds of years before by Israel's enemies. Herod the great builder, had 10 wives. Herod had 9 sons by 5 of those wives. One of those sons was called Antipas. Herod also had a son named Antipater. different person. But Herod had Antipater, his own son, executed. These were not nice people and a very dysfunctional family. So when Herod the Great died, he had all these sons he could make king after he was gone, but it wasn't an easy decision, and so what happened is that Herod the Great's kingdom was divided for three of his sons to rule. One of them was Antipas, Herod Antipas. That is the Herod of chapter 13 of Luke's Gospel, today's Gospel reading. Antipas is also the Herod who had John the Baptizer killed. John was imprisoned for John's preaching, but Herod Antipas allowed John the Baptizer to be killed. That's important because it makes this whole scene in chapter 13 of Luke make sense. Verse 31, at that time some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." So Herod, who had already killed John the Baptizer, and the Pharisees bring news, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you now." Killed John the Baptizer. Now he wants you. Please notice that it was some of the Pharisees who appear to be concerned for Jesus' safety. So some of the Pharisees may be bad, but not all Pharisees. As a matter of fact, Luke tells us in more than one place that not all Pharisees were bad. According to Luke, it's unfair to say Jesus good, Pharisees bad. Some of the Pharisees might have wanted Jesus killed, but not all of them. And clearly, the Pharisees that Luke is showing us here in chapter 13 did not want Jesus arrested or killed. Now, I've read a couple of scholars who claim there may be other motives going on here on the Pharisees' part, but Luke does not say that. Luke does not tell us that. And given that John the Baptizer was killed by this same Herod Antipas, the report as we read this makes perfect sense just the way it stands. But a brief look at what Luke tells us about the Pharisees might be enlightening, and I put the references in the sermon notes for you. Although there are interpretations of the law of Moses that Jesus and the Pharisees disagreed about, some Pharisees were open to Jesus, inviting Jesus to their homes for a meal. It was a Pharisee who suggested to the council in the early life of the church that they proceed with caution with the disciples preaching publicly, suggesting that the disciples could be doing God's will. Some of the Pharisees, and certainly their disciples, became believers, as is mentioned in Acts chapter 15. The Apostle Paul stated, "Not that he was a Pharisee, but that I am a Pharisee." Luke makes his case clear about Jesus and Pharisees. Do not paint the Pharisees with only one brush. What the Pharisees who came to warn Jesus are suggesting is that Jesus, since the authorities might be trying to capture Jesus to imprison him for the purpose of killing him, they are suggesting that Jesus leave Herod Antipas' jurisdiction. These Pharisees are suggesting that Jesus should cross the state line to safety, so to speak. I mean, the other two Herods, whose lands are next to Herod Antipas' land, Jesus could retreat to. Those Herods, Archelaus and Philip, couldn't care less about Antipas' problems, so they couldn't be bothered in any hate that Antipas had for John the Baptizer, or Jesus, for that matter. If Jesus could leave Antipas' territory, Jesus would be safe from Antipas. Jesus replies to the warning these Pharisees bring him. "Go tell that fox. I will keep on driving out demons and healing people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal. In any case, I must press on today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem." Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent on you. Jesus is saying quite a few things in just two sentences here. First of all, Jesus is saying, I will keep on doing what I do. Jesus is saying to Antipas, you can't stop me. Now, some might want to say that Antipas can't stop Jesus because God is in charge. Okay, but that doesn't answer some other questions, because Jesus is going to die and Antipas will be all for it. The better meaning to Jesus' statement is that Antipas cannot stop Jesus because Jesus is on a mission from God. Jesus is compelled, as an obedient son of God, to continue his mission of driving out demons, healing people, giving sight to the blind, bringing those in darkness into the light, and healing hearts. And Jesus is saying he will continue to do so. And Jesus is giving another reason that he won't be stopped. Jesus is saying that Jesus will not be stopped yet, but someday and soon, Jesus is saying that he, Jesus, will be stopped. Why? Because Jesus is a prophet of God, and prophets die in Jerusalem. Prophets die in Jerusalem, not away from Jerusalem, and Jesus had not yet come into Jerusalem, but Jesus would get into the city of Jerusalem. This is practically another prediction Jesus makes about his death in Jerusalem. And Jesus states that he will be entering Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday of the Passover festival. All will hear the cries of the people. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. For these are the cries of the people in Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday. Jesus says, you will not see me. We can assume the Pharisees warning Jesus are from the city of Jerusalem. So these particular Pharisees will not see Jesus in Jerusalem. They will not see Jesus in Herod Antipas' jail until after Jesus comes to Jerusalem. Then they will see him. Now, Jesus called Herod a fox, and we might wonder why Jesus called Herod a fox. Inquiring minds want to know. Perhaps you have heard the phrase, sly as a fox. Maybe you know the phrase, to be crazy like a fox. But those are modern phrases, not ancient phrases. So forget those. I know, you know them, but you don't need them for reading the Bible. As a matter of fact, some commentators are not clear whether Jesus is referring to foxes or jackals. And I have posted some photographs of foxes native to Israel, and jackals, also native to Israel, and you see the similarities. There are 12 true species of foxes. Foxes are in the same family as wolves and jackals and domestic dogs. Therefore, we can forgive the ancients that they did not make a clear distinction between jackals and foxes. And from these photos, they have many similarities. So what does Jesus mean by calling Herod Antipas a fox? Well, first, although it is hard to tell a fox and a jackal apart, see the photos, it is not difficult to be able to tell a fox from a lion. Lions from ancient times have been associated with power and royalty and top of the food chain. There's a reason they're called the king of the jungle. A lion's roar can be heard 5 miles and is the loudest roar of the cat family. Jesus is calling Herod Antipas a fox because Herod Antipas is no lion. Herod Antipas may think or may want to demonstrate a lion's power, but Herod Antipas is a fox. A small, dog-like creature that yelps and barks and whines. Oh, to be sure, foxes can be destructive. You don't want them getting into the chicken coop and the hen house. But Herod Antipas is no lion. Jesus is not intimidated by any of Herod's desire to see Jesus arrested. So this may all be very interesting, but what does it mean for you? And I believe it has a great deal of meaning for you. Jesus is on a mission from God. Are you not also on a mission from God? Aren't you on a mission from God? Has God not made you a parent or a grandparent or married? You know, you can decide to have children, but you can't decide to have grandchildren. Did you know that? It's not up to you. Millions of Americans have discovered that you can't simply decide to have children. That doesn't always work. Parenting and grandparenting and marriage are from God. They are a calling. They are a vocation in the sense that they are a calling. I didn't have children. My wife Deborah didn't have children. God gave us children. And if God gave me children, then I better be getting help from God on what to do with them. Did I mention to you before that I survived 3 teenage daughters? Only with God's help. No one decides to grandparent. Talk about a God-given gift. That is a mission from God. If you have grandchildren, you've been called to that work. And some are called to the work of a parent or an aunt or an uncle or godparent who have no children of their own. They too are called to the work. All of us are called to share the gospel. Jesus said so. Think of other jobs that are also a calling. Nurse, teacher, Sunday school teacher, pastor, or I could just read the list of gifts in Paul's letters that include administrator and evangelist. And if you are on a mission from God, you won't stop. You can't stop. God wills that you do this thing, or God wills that you do these things. And what else does this report on Jesus tell us? Jesus was doing God's will and Jesus was opposed. If you are doing God's will, you can expect opposition. If you are doing God's will, you can expect opposition. And in this specific case, Jesus is opposed by those who are powerful. Opposed by those who can decide to arrest and imprison and kill. Jesus' answer, I will keep on. Jesus said, I will keep on keeping on. I will keep on driving out demons and healing people today and tomorrow. So friends, Jesus is teaching us his church. Whatever God has called you to do, do it no matter how hard it is. Whatever God has called you to do, do it no matter how much opposition you face. Stay the course today and tomorrow. Keep on keeping on. Keep doing what God has given you to do. Now, Jesus knew where his calling was leading, to Jerusalem and death. You may not see where your calling is taking you. We might not even like what we do see ahead of us, but keep doing whatever God has called you and me to do. You and I are on a mission from God. We will have to trust God to deal with the opposition. When you are on a mission from God, you won't stop. You can't stop. God wills that you do this thing, or God wills that you do these things. Jesus' message to Herod, "I will finish the work." Friends, Jesus wants you to finish the work our Lord has given you to do, but continue to do it. Amen.